listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 190 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal.
Hang on, Sean Orford.
Come on, what's going on?
Oh, does that need to be done?
Shall I explain what's happening?
Hang on. Hey, yeah, I'm working. I'm cooking on gas.
We're just trying out some new technology, aren't we?
Yeah, it's a good experiment. I've got a weird setup connected to my iPad, so I'm doing a parallel recording.
It's got one of these fancy mics, which is on a levered system, which we're just testing out. We're just trying to raise our game a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Slowly but surely. You won't be hearing it this week, but in coming weeks we're going to try and...
Be interesting to hear the difference in the quality.
It will.
Because this setup, you can have four mics on it.
Woo-hoo. So that'll be handy for guest interviews.
Yeah.
Guest shows, which we've got a few of those coming up.
Yeah.
So we've got that going on this week. We've also got a two-year-old boy in the corner of the room, haven't we?
Yeah.
He's currently being entertained by... The Smurfs on Netflix.
Yeah, he's doing well.
He's doing well so far. He might even nod off if we're lucky. But he may want to come and participate in this week's show, which is,
you never know,
add a lovely extra dimension. We're talking about shame this week, overcoming shame. We'll dive into that shortly. Just quickly, liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Any new listeners, check it out for all the show notes for this, and all previous episodes are on there as well. 123 Friday are our partners on this show. If you click the 123 Friday logo and follow the link and the referral code, you will get access to a great little app which helps you back up all of your photos, videos and contacts on your phone or tablet, iPhone, Android compatible, backward compatible as well in case you're switching. Check it out and see what you think. Give it a go. Sean, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
How's your tooth?
Well. Interesting. I've cracked it in twice, so it's in four pieces.
Uh-huh.
But I've got an amazing dentist who has put this kind of glue stuff in it to stick it all back together.
Right.
And
the pain has subsided.
Yeah, it's not as bad as it was. I've got a kind of a jaw ache at the moment, but we will see.
You've aged a little bit in the last couple
think?
Of weeks.
So, yeah,
I didn't think it was possible. But
and now I look like a mummy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He reckons that if it holds together for 6 months, he can put a cap on the top and I'll save the tooth.
Right, okay.
But if not...
Save the tooth.
So yeah. We didn't.
You've got a bit of gold in there already.
Yeah, I'm worth a lot of money inside my mouth. Yeah, but I always say to Ree, when I die, make sure they take the gold out before you bury me or burn me.
I'm sure she'll take care of that, yeah. That'll be the first thing she does.
We'll pay for the funeral. So,
yeah, I'm doing all right as well. Hey, Jacob, you okay? You got a little shy. Watch the Smurfs. I just want to quickly mention a little thing I've been doing with Friends of the Earth. I was sent a clean air kit, which
I
put it up next to Will's school for a couple of weeks and then sent it back to be analysed, and it shows that the air quality in our area isn't too bad. It's kind of 50% the legal limit.
No.
I'm not sure how scientific in terms of how often we need to do it and weather conditions. Interesting. I'm going to link to a little map of the UK where other people have put them all around the UK.
Yeah.
Just so you might be able to get an idea of what it's like in your area. Oh, certainly in inner cities, some of the numbers are quite scary, actually. But have a little look at that if you can. Check it out.
Well, there's been lots of evidence recently about Alzheimer's and dementia and how high the incidence is near the road networks.
Oh, yeah, I read that, actually. Yeah, that was quite interesting. There's like a 12% increase in cases.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I can't talk too much about it because I bought a diesel car last year. When our car went bang, we bought another one and it was a diesel. Yeah. But
Have you seen the organisation Doctors Against Diesel?
No, I've heard of that actually.
Yeah, but there's a big push because of the amount of respiratory and cardiovascular problems that are coming from diesel fumes. But now there's this added kind of dementia element which is creeping in.
We've got to keep an eye on all that stuff.
Yeah,
I'm a bit far away from the microphone, guys, at the moment. I'm just sorting out material.
Yeah, it's interesting when we do these podcasts because we're a hygge family set up here.
Exactly.
Sometimes we have little guys in as well, do we?
It's been a while, but
yeah.
Right, I'm back of the mic now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's enough about air quality and various other things. Not that's not important, but we're talking about shame this week, aren't we, Sean?
But then you just said I bought a diesel, and yeah. Were you saying I bought a diesel because you felt like you shouldn't? Should you not? And was there a level of shame in you saying about a diesel?
A little bit, yeah, because you know, if you follow me on Twitter, I'm always talking about the environment and electric cars and what have you. And I tried really hard to. I could have stretched to get a Nissan Leaf. Well, in fact, I could have got a Nissan Leaf, which is a full electric car, for the same amount that we paid for the diesel. But it's not big enough for a family of four. And
but also, there's the issue of how far can you travel at the moment.
Yeah, the second-hand ones that are a few years old do 80, 90 miles on a full charge, which is all right if you're popping around locally, but we go up to the northeast quite a bit.
Yeah.
So you'd have to stop to charge it
but
twice.
The last car I got as a diesel, I got it because it does 69 miles to the gallon.
Yep.
So I'm thinking that's good because I'm saving the planet, as it were, by doing less or using less fuel.
Yep.
But then you get the whole thing comes out about the diesel and the particulates in the diesel.
Yeah, in people's lungs, which is... So, yeah, you are helping the planet, you're just not helping humanity. But we're getting there, I think, aren't we? We're learning stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's an issue of shame. Yeah, I mean, it does stop me from talking about things a little bit as much as I'd like, because I'm kind of... There's a bit of double standards going on there, I guess. But, yeah, is there anything in your life that you kind of hark back to and think, oh, you get that little cringe-worthy...
I'm sure that most of us, if we look back, we'd think about things and think, oh God, I wish I hadn't done that, or I wish I hadn't said that.
Yeah.
But very often, when we're having that experience of saying things or worrying about things, it's because back along, maybe we did the best that we could at that point with our understanding at the time, but now... As we've got older and we know more, that we're in a position where we can now be sort of censorious about what we did in the past. But it's a bit of a crazy thing, really.
I've left the microphone again, guys, just so you know. but do you want to explain what shame is from your point of view?
Well, I think that shame, like beauty, is one of those things about it's the way that you see it. So that... there are things that we do, or today Donald Trump will do his inauguration. Now, there are many people that would think from some of the things that he's said out loud that he should actually be feeling shame for the things that he did and said. But then, from his point of view, those things, he probably thought, no, I was telling the truth. Those things aren't things to be shameful
when
about.
When I did that dodgy deal that screwed people over. Yeah, are some people just more immune to feeling shame than others?
But no, I think it's we're back to one of those, what is shame? Like, you know, one man's gorilla is another man's freedom fighter, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's like there are things that we do that it's us that feel the shame for it, you know, and it may, outside of us, people might be saying, what on earth are you feeling shame for that for?
Yeah, it's no big deal.
Yeah, it's a very relative thing. And one of the things, without going into any details of people particularly, what happens if a relative of yours does something, you know, maybe they're kind of, you know, rapist, murderer, bank robber, and in your community suddenly you're shown up as being related to this person, you know, to the local paedophile or whatever. Where does that leave you in terms of shame? Are you, do you disown that person? Are you embarrassed by them? Or do you feel shame? Do you think, no, it's nothing to do with me? And it's all to do with the way we see it, not what other people see.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And people may say, shame on you, shame on you. And that it's because they feel the shame in it, and the person that they're saying you should be ashamed of what you're doing, maybe they don't feel ashamed at all.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What do you see is shame? If someone said to you, okay, what's shame? What would you say it is?
I would have trouble actually giving the definition of it. I mean, there are certain things in my life, small little things that I feel shame for. One of which. I cringe whenever I remember the moment I did it is I threw a cricket ball in a lady's face.
Ooh. Deliberately?
No, not deliberately. Definitely not deliberately, which is probably why I probably feel shame. If I'd done it deliberately then, and I'd hit her in the face, then I would have thought, yeah, brilliant, good shot.
Oh, no, I think it would be the other way around. If I did it accidentally, I'd think, oh, that's an accident. If I did it deliberately, I might feel shameful afterwards.
Because it was in a busy environment as well. It was like a school sports day, and we were trying to get to chuck the cricket ball as far as you could to get a certain tick in the box. And I tried a new technique for throwing the ball, and the ball went 90 degrees to my left. Straight into this lady's face.
You got a tick in the face.
Blimey, man. And everyone saw it, and you know, she went off to hospital. I can laugh about it now. I saw her a couple of weeks later, and she was all right. Quite a bit of bruising. But bloody heck, I still think back to that now. That's about as bad as it gets for me, so I've lived quite a sheltered existence. Really.
I have one thing that comes back to me. I must have been 17. It was before I took my driving test, because I was going to the driving school. I'm walking down the road,
yeah,
and a woman landed on the pavement in front of me, and I don't know where she came from. I assume she jumped from the flats that I was walking by, and she hit the ground and kind of, I suppose it would be like she burst open, like she was bleeding from all kinds of places, and I was paralysed, I was frozen, and this guy came running down the road, he'd seen what happened. And he's ripping off a sheepskin coat, and he's shouting at me, "Get an ambulance! Get an ambulance!" And I was frozen to the spot. Wow. And in the end, someone else had to get an ambulance. And this guy dealt with everything and did all this stuff for this woman. And I couldn't do anything. And I've often thought afterwards, I went through the "you pathetic idiot," you know, "why didn't you do something" kind of stuff. And I suppose that would be something that I would label shame. Logically, I can say, well, I was 17, it was a shock, I didn't have a clue, I didn't know what to do, you know, that kind of stuff.
I was going to say, I mean, yeah, are kids immune to shame? What is there an age, do you think, when we kind of flick a little...
Maybe shame is given to us. Maybe other people give us shame. You know, like the idea of, they used to say to boys, didn't they, you know, if you touch your willy, you're going to go blind, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So then you develop the shame of...
Yeah,
or you get that. There is quite a lot of religion, isn't there?
Yeah,
where God's shame. Watching you.
Yeah,
and you know, so you can feel the shame of that.
Even though he's supposed to be all forgiving as well, isn't he?
Depends which religion you're going for.
Yeah, to a point. Yeah, yeah.
But that whole sense of is shame something that I've done that I wish I hadn't done, or is it something that I did that I'm embarrassed about because other people know that I did it? Or is it a personal shame? You know, if you're sat on the top deck of a bus and you remember something, would you feel the shame of that event because you're now looking back on it? You know?
Yeah, just getting back to the religious aspect as well. I remember Father Lord telling me a story about, he preached at a church once, just kind of stood in for someone, and he was chatting to one of the congregation at the end, an older lady, who was talking, reminiscing about a previous priest or vicar, and she said the best thing about him was that, in her wording, was, "Oh, he really made you feel guilty." And my father-in-law
was the good bit.
Yeah, just couldn't quite get his head around it. But yeah, there's that kind of inbuilt shaming mechanism in certain people's faith, yeah, almost, isn't it? So it's like, that's how we get by. Just,
yeah,
you know, it's a shame is almost a part of you.
Yeah.
Which I struggle to understand that, but I thought it was quite interesting.
Yeah. I think that shame is in the eye of the beholder. I think it comes back to that.
Yeah, definitely. There's a couple of links I'm going to put in the show notes to interesting little articles and what have you, one of which, liveboldandbloom.com, 8 strategies for overcoming shame, which I suggest we check out. But should we go through a few of these little bullet points now and see?
Yeah, yeah.
So number one is to revisit your childhood, which kind of hints to me that, as kids, we almost don't feel shame, do we? Or that's when we're almost pure. And what do you think?
When you say what you're reading from there, revisit your childhood, why would you want to do that? What's the suggestion?
I haven't read it fully yet, to be honest. I've just copied and pasted these bullet points. I was hoping you might be able to embellish it.
I don't know what you're reading.
But yeah, no, I think the basic premise was that as children, we're free of guilt and what have you, and we haven't kind of made any mistakes yet to feel shameful of. And we may have actually done things that as adults we would have felt shame on, but as kids we haven't got that mentality to feel shameful about it.
But where does the moral code come from to feel shame about? You know, is it that someone has to give us that moral coding that we then can experience shame from?
Yeah.
What would that... That would be relative to the philosophy of the parents, maybe, or the community that gave us that.
Yeah, school and church and who knows what. Is it all gone? That's a shame. His drink's all gone. What a shame.
Well, that's interesting. That's a different use of the word shame, isn't it? We're not using shame as guilt. We're using shame as sadness.
Shame as sadness. It's all gone. His fruit shoot's all gone. Yeah. No more fruit shoots, otherwise you'll end up with teeth like Sean.
And that'll be a shame.
Number two is recognise your triggers. So it's almost that this is kind of saying how to avoid shame and bypass it. So I don't know whether that's a good thing in terms of not dealing with it properly. But for me, as you know, straight after that incident, the cricket ball incident, it was weighing on my mind big time. You know, I'd close my eyes and I'd be back in that spot and I'd try and think of ways to, you know, get my brain off the subject almost.
But if you come at it from another direction, what value is shame? What value does shame have for us in society, for us as individuals? What does it do? I mean, is it because it makes us reflect and do an audit of what we've done?
Yeah.
So that we can then maybe moderate what we do in the future?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, like with all these things we talk about, it's about how we can grab it by the horns, really, and kind of twist it and turn it into something more positive, isn't it, I guess?
Well, one of the things that you see a lot in the justice system is whether people have any kind of... they're acknowledging what they've done, you know, as opposed to they don't get it. You know,
yeah.
And people that are more kind of apologetic for what they've done, repentant, you know, and is it that, are we in the same category there with shame? If people can see it and they regret what they did, are we talking about the same thing?
Maybe. I mean, number three is about self-compassion, practicing self-compassion, which is forgiveness, I guess, really, isn't it? Which is a big step of moving on from any...
Yeah. And like I say, if you do something at a point in life where it made sense to you because you felt you were doing the right thing, and then later you realise you did the wrong thing, is it right to beat yourself up and be shameful about that because you did the best you could at the time?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, some people, like we've discussed already, are almost seemingly incapable of feeling shame, no matter how horrendous their actions may have been. I mean, what are they? Is that when you're kind of getting onto, like, the psychopath spectrum?
Yeah, psychopath, sociopath, lack of insight. Lack of empathy. And that empathy can be to yourself or to other people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah. And number four is challenging your thoughts, which, if you're a psychopath, is tricky because you only have...
There's nothing to challenge.
There's nothing to challenge because you're on the right path, aren't you?
Yeah, what are you going to challenge that for?
But for everyone out there that's not a psychopath, have you just bumped your head? Oh dear, that's a shame, isn't it? Yeah, felt that. Has it gone off? Yeah. I'll put Netflix back on for you. But for the rest of us that aren't psychopaths, challenging your thoughts is a healthy thing, hey?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that to have that level of self-awareness is what in mindfulness you think of as the observer self, who can observe what you think, what you feel and what you do, but then has that moderating voice. It's like a conscience, being aware of what you're doing and then maybe making the decision to act differently.
Yeah.
That's the bit that's important.
Okay.
Choices.
Yeah, we've all got choices, haven't we? And even if you've made a wrong choice at some point, the next choice you have will come along.
If you have made a mistake, if you've made a complete balls up of something, maybe in terrible ways, you know, you can't do anything about it. You can try and moderate the effects that maybe you had on other people.
Yeah.
But in the end, you have to get to the point of letting go. And like when we're doing the 10 steps thing, where we're talking about forgiveness of other people, but also forgiveness of yourself for things that you got wrong.
Yeah, exactly. It was a two-way street. I mean, forgiveness is further on the list as well. And linked to what you just said is about avoiding shame reinforces. So, okay, you may have mucked up and you may have done something horrendous, but you don't need it constantly being reinforced by people that are... So this is when you kind of... We talk about being careful about who you're surrounding yourself with in your life. And yeah, if someone's just constantly dragging you down or not helping the situation, it might be time to say ta-ta or...
Yeah.
Spend a bit less time with them, hey?
Yeah. But that's the issue about being with people that serve you well, that serve your own habit structures well.
This isn't going to end well, is it? Climbing on the cabinet. Should we watch... If only we could be live streaming this right now.
Yeah. That's our next step. We should be doing
video.
Live videos. Yeah.
Oh, you squashed the bottle. and again, there's another point here. These are all rolling to one. These last few about accepting love and kindness. So you have the people on the dark side and the people on the light side, which you can kind of you need to head towards at times of trouble. Hey.
Well, one of the things I'm very aware of in working with different clients is that sometimes clients feel shame for things that they've done, but they can't hear other people forgiving them. They can't hear other people saying, no, it's okay, or other people saying, no, what you did was completely understandable. You don't have to beat yourself up for that.
Yeah.
Because people get into that self-punishment for things, and that's a negative form of shame.
Okay.
When people start to beat themselves up for stuff that they did, not in a negative way, but it just happened that way,
right?
You know.
So I mean, summarizing really, I mean, when you're dealing with folks that have one degree of shame or of another, I mean, apart from these steps we've just gone through, is there anything else you kind of... How do you set people on the right path initially if there's something big that's just happened?
But it's if it's just happened, usually you've got to let it settle. It takes time to settle.
It's time involved, eh?
But it always comes down to forgiveness of self and forgiveness of others, which is letting go.
Yeah.
And forgiveness is such a hard thing for many people to do.
Mm-hmm.
Really tough stuff. But
we have done other episodes on forgiveness, which I'll try and remember to link to forgiveness episodes. And if you go back to episode 100, come up to 200 soon, we need to think of something special for that.
Yeah, but champagne.
We did the full...
We'll do an episode on champagne. we'll have a tasting.
Yeah, but episode 100, we did a little mini version of the course, didn't we? The Live in the Present course, which... probably worth going through, I would think.
I reckon for our 100th podcast, we should invite all the people that we can who have been on previous podcasts to come round, and we'll do a podcast
together.
And go shame.
Oh, bring shame on them. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, shame. Okay, right. Like it. Mine is a School of Life video again, which Jacob needs to watch probably. But it's about how to travel in your mind. It's the basic premise is that we spend so much time and money setting up the perfect holiday or going here, there and everywhere, when quite often you can travel in your mind, either back in time to that perfect moment. Watch the video.
It's almost like armchair travelling, having like a virtual headset.
Well, that's coming actually. Yeah, I've been playing with some of that in my pals.
Yeah, so you won't be going on holiday. You'll be going on a virtual holiday.
Yeah, you just go sit in a tub.
So you could just be sat in your lounge, but and on your headset, you're on a beach and having a pina colada somewhere.
And anything else you can imagine in your wildest dreams will be possible. Westworld. I'm watching Westworld at the moment. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Far pretty out there, but. It's very good, very good. All done?
Yeah, that's good.
Happy? Should we quit while we're ahead with Jakey?
Yeah, we'll quit while we're ahead.
Thanks for being so good, Jakey.
And we got some good podcasts coming up with some guests, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got Marissa coming on next week, I think.
Who's got a new book out.
Well, she's coming on. I'm just trying to figure if it's next week or not, if we're going to record another one before then. But yeah, Nourishing Roots, is that the book?
Yep.
Yeah, we have had Marissa on before.
Yeah,
I'm really looking forward to getting her back on. Livingthepresent.co.uk is the website for all the links we've discussed. Check out 123 Friday as well, and we're all over Facebook and Twitter as well, aren't we, Jacob?
Yeah.
This is William Starr. Yeah. It's lovely, isn't it?
Beautiful.
Did you make it?
No.
No.
You put it on your eye.
Put it on my eye.
On your eye.
Yeah. Say goodbye. Say goodbye to everyone.
You can say bye-bye. Bye.
Bye. Shout
bye.
Bye.
Right, Shawnee, take care.
You take care. See ya.
See you soon. Bye.